Sri Guruvaya Namaha. So we'd like to welcome all of you to the Sunday Love Feast on behalf of our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, Moore Park College students, and all of you, special guests, and my god brother Sri Goloka Prabhu visiting from Australia, all the way Sydney. So this evening, I wanted to talk about the importance of Krishna consciousness in this day and age we live. So according to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the books displayed here, it's explained that with our imperfect senses, see, every human being, we have these four defects. We are imperfect, we have tendency to cheat, we commit mistakes, we are an illusion. So with imperfect senses, whatever we calculate, whatever we come up with, they're usually just like an imagination. They're not like perfect. Sometimes we think something is perfect and it turns out to, you know, haunt us. Some situation we think, we desire, we pray, then it turns out to be like a headache. There is this really nice example of this wise person. This wise person, he actually had a horse. And this horse ran away. So the neighbors, they came to him and said, you know what? We're very sorry to hear like your horse ran away. And he said, it's hard to say, you know, what's good, what's bad, you know, these things happen. Then the horse actually came back with four wild horses. One horse went and came back with four horses. So the neighbors were cheering him, oh, you know, so great, you know, now you have like so many horses. And this person said, it's hard to say, you know, what's good, what's bad in this world, you know, these things happen. And the son of this wise person, he was trying to train one of the horses, the wild horses, and it kicked him and broke his leg. So all the neighbors were saying, oh my God, you know, it's very sorry to hear this. The horse, you know, broke your son's leg. And this man said, you know, these things happen. We cannot say what's good and what's bad. And the military came to draft the son. And they saw this guy had a broken leg and is useless, so they just left. So everybody was saying, wow, you know, what a nice thing, your son had a broken leg. And he said, you know, these things happen. So this goes on like this. So the point being is, material solutions to material problems doesn't work. We need actually spiritual solutions to spiritual material problems. We all know like the drug war against drugs is actually cause of more drugs. And the war against terrorism has actually produced more terrorists. So somebody was saying maybe we should have war against jobs and money. Because, you know, these things are scarce. So Krishna consciousness means to give up these old ways of life, whether it's individually or collectively, which is not working. It's about time we realize. It's like they say, you know, if you did the same thing every single day and you expect a different result, that's craziness. That's the definition of craziness. Because you do the same thing, you're going to get the same result. How are you going to get a different result? Similarly, whatever our parents did, whatever our grandparents did, and the same thing we are doing and we're hoping something changed, it's not possible. And they never tell us also. It's not like our parents or grandparents, you know, pull us aside and say like, oh, you know, I lived my whole life, I tried this, I tried that, it didn't work out. Maybe it's time for you to look somewhere else, you know. Try to do something different. No, they don't do that. Instead, what they did was, it's like trying to wring a dry towel, trying to, you know, get some juice from a dry towel. And then they hand you over the towel, you know, and they have the muscles from trying to wring all life. And then the parents tried it and there was no juice, and then they hand it over to you. So this is a perverted reflection of the parampara, the disciplic succession, of how we've been given the same old thing again and again. In Sanskrit, it's called puna puna charvita charvanana, repeatedly chewing, which has already been chewed. So the same thing, the yoga texts of India explain, we've been doing the same thing we are doing now in so many lifetimes. This brings the point of reincarnation. Reincarnation means the soul in a different flesh. Just in this lifetime, the scientists can tell you every 7 years we have a new body, but we remain the same person. So the point is, many lifetimes we're doing the same thing again and again and again. It's actually explained, we've been doing the same things in so many lifetimes, and if you stack all the skeletons from all these lifetimes we had, it'll almost block the sun. It's so many lifetimes, puna puna charvita charvanana, repeatedly chewing the chewed. And sometimes, you know, we want to find out if there is past life, how can I find out, you know, what I was in my last life? But again, you can. There are so many astrologers in India who can tell you. But again, it's irrelevant. It's like a waste of time. Because what you were in the past, even if you found out, you know, you can't change your past. But you can change your future. So it's no point we trying to spend time on what happened in the past. Even in this lifetime, whatever we did 20 years ago, it's almost like we forgot something we lost, something we gained, you know. For us right now, it doesn't matter. So these ancient teachings of India are explaining how, you know, we have left our home and we have come into God's illusory energy now. Krishna has two energies. One is internal energy, which is like the spiritual world or heaven in the biblical terms. And this material energy, which is his external energy. And this in this illusory energy, we are acting, but we're being drugged. You know, we're acting under the influence of this external energy, illusory energy. It's just like this drug in Colombia. They call this devil's breath. It's such an amazing, powerful, toxic substance. If you give it to somebody, even just a teeny bit, they're acting as if they're normal, but they're just not themselves. They're completely gone. So these criminals, what they do is, they send these prostitutes to the clubs, and they spike somebody's drink with this drug, and the guy takes a sip and then he's all gone. But he looks completely normal. So the prostitutes tell him, okay, you know, give me your, withdraw some cash from the ATM, go home, give me the laptop. And sometimes they empty out the whole apartment and load it in the trucks of these criminals. And the next morning they wake up and the house is empty, and they go to the security and say, where's all my stuff? I said, you're the only one, you're the one that loaded all the stuff in the truck. Why didn't you stop me? How were you supposed to stop you? You know, you're doing it and it's your stuff. So we're acting, but we're not really aware. It's almost like, you know, we lost our free will. So similarly, in the material world, in this illusory world, we're acting, but it's almost like we're not there. Prabhupada, very often, our founder, he would use this term, loitering. We are loitering here. Loitering means we have, you know, no business here. Do not loiter means you're there someplace where you're not supposed to be there. You're just wandering. So this is our position. We are in the material world. We are spirit souls, belong to the spiritual world, part and parcel of God. But we are actually loitering in this material world, engaging in material activities, which is not beneficial for us, nor for the world. The example I recently heard, this eggplant. The eggplant in India, it has 800 times more chemical than it is allowed in Europe. I mean, I'm sure in Europe there's a lot of chemicals this day and age. And 800 times more than they allow. This is found on a vegetable that we eat. So this is our creation. This is what, you know, man-made creation. And we accumulate things in this world that we don't even need. It's like this movie star in Malibu. His home actually got burned down by this fire. And he was interviewed, like, they asked him, like, how do you feel? You know, how do you feel about your home? Like, it's gone. He says, you know what? I actually feel light. I feel free. Because all these documents that are filling the drawers and all these old clothes that I'm supposed to get rid of and all this furniture and the old carpet and this document, that document, this memory and that memory was weighing me down. I just didn't know how to get rid of it. Finally, this fire actually, you know, freed me from all these headaches. Now I feel really free. Because he had so much money, he could always build another house. So this is the nature of the world. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he told Brahma. Brahma is the creator, like the engineer. Like many people think Hinduism has many gods. There are many gods, but there's one Supreme Personality of Godhead. His name is Krishna. Like many religions have different names for him. Some call him Father, Jehovah, Allah. So similarly in Krishna consciousness, we also believe in just one God. Under him, there are many people working for him, many angels or demigods. So the architect of this particular universe, this material universe we're in, Krishna told Brahma that when you create, make sure you don't leave any room for enjoyment, material enjoyment. Be very thorough in your job. So that does not mean like, you know, we're not against happiness. We're all about happiness. We're all looking for happiness. Every being, doesn't matter what situation you're in, we're always searching for happiness. It's like I remember when I was flying last year from New Zealand to India, there was this guy in the airplane and he had some problem where he couldn't eat. They had like a tube. And whatever he had to eat or drink, he had to just pour it in. And he would get like cans and cans of beer and just pour it in. No matter what situation, I'm not against it or for it, I'm just saying, doesn't matter what your situation is, you're always looking for happiness, you're always looking for enjoyment, but the real happiness is spiritual happiness. That's the real happiness, that's what really works. Nothing else works, no material happiness works. For example, when I was a student like you guys, you know, I spent like $30,000 to graduate from this business school, but I was more confused than ever. Because, you know, schools, what do they teach you? You know, they teach you how to make money, but money doesn't solve everything. And I was really confused. I was thinking, you know, what do I do? I was lonely, I was, you know, confused, I was miserable. And then I was going different spiritual places wherever people gather and discuss some spirituality. I would go and listen to them. And I was sharing a room with this person. His name was, believe it or not, was Krishna. And Krishna came home one day with 8 books, these books. And he's explained to me how somebody on the street wearing orange and shaved head sold him these books, you know. And he said he gave him $50 donation. I thought, you know, this guy is nuts. You give $50 to somebody on the street, you know, for these books. So he gave me one of these books. I was polite. I just accepted this book. But I was, you know, I was not interested in reading. But he was reading every night. he would smoke his joint and drink his beer, but somehow or other he would read these books. And every time I would complain to him, you know, this is wrong, that is wrong, and he was started to talk so wisely, like his answers made so much sense to me. And at the end, he would always point out, because you're not reading these books, therefore you're stressed out, like this. He would always get on my case. So I said, you know, maybe I should read these books just to see what he says. So I read one of these books. It made so much sense. So much sense. But I never knew, you know, there's like a whole society, international society, and people are like followers, and, you know, I didn't know any of these things. Pretty much, I just learned English, and this is like the first book out of school. I read this book, you know. And then it made so much sense. And then he was actually a very wealthy person. He was a manager in a big restaurant. So he would often, sometimes he would take me to eat because I was a poor student, you know, starving student. So one day he said to me, would you like to go dinner? I said, sure, please. And then he takes me to this workplace. I was working in this fast food. I said, why you take me there? They're going to ask me to work overtime. Because we always had a change of clothes in the locker in the back. And any time you can just clock in, start working. They always needed me. I said, I don't want to go there. You know, they're going to ask me to work. I'm not ready. He said, no, we're not going. We're going upstairs. So we went in the side, took the elevator, went to the third floor. And there was this Krishna place. I walked in and, you know, people were wearing saris and tilak and incense was burning. And it's like New Zealand's very small, so they don't get so many guests like we get. So I was pretty much the only new person there. So the whole class was directed to me and they spoke to me. But I felt so home. Just reading these books and walking into a temple. I'm sure all of you feel, right? You feel something different. It's not like a nightclub, you have to be a certain age and then you pay so much to get in and then a little bit vodka costs so much and then you're vomiting all day next day. You know, you still have to go to work, the phone is ringing, it's hellish. But here it's free, you just walk in, sit down on the floor, it's free, you just give oral reception, you feel it. So I felt like that. As soon as I walked in the place, it was like a stress-free zone. And the people were like so nice and clean and pure and they had answers to every question I had. And then I figured out I would use some excuse to go to the place every day. It was a ladies' ashram. They didn't usually allow the men to come in during the week, but I would just go and vacuum their carpet, do dishes. Somehow or other, I just want to be there. And I felt, you know, such a nice relief, such a nice taste, such a nice juice in life. I felt so inspired. I felt like so happy for the first time. So this chanting we do all the time here, Hare Krishna Mantra, is an amazing experience. Because the chanting and the soul, they're of the same nature. And the chanting is like the food for the soul. Because if you have a bird inside a cage, no matter how much you polish the cage, if you don't feed the bird is starving. Similarly, we live in a world, it's so superficial, it's so external, it's all about body and hair and mind and the same old thing. But inside the soul is starving. So this chanting, it actually nourishes the soul. It actually makes you happy. And it's non-sectarian. It's spiritual sound. How could it be sectarian? And I'm chanting, this is my 14th year, same mantra, Hare Krishna and Rama, every day for 2 hours, it just gets better and better. And there's so many people in our community, they've been chanting the same mantra for like 40 years. You know, if you're chanting something mundane like Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola, you know, you don't feel anything, you know. But this mantra is so potent, you really feel it. And it's such a nice experience, especially those of us that's been coming here regularly. We should chant every morning, you know, such a great way to start the day. It's like a breakfast for the soul, you know, you have such a great start. It's such a beautiful experience. Nobody should miss out on this opportunity. It's very easy. You just pick up some beads and you chant the names of God for a few minutes. And it's not a religious faith. You will feel it for yourself. It's like Prabhupada, our founder, he said when he was a kid, as soon as he woke up, the first thing he would see was his father chanting the names of God, take shower, chant, and be in the meditative mood. And he would invite saintly people to his home. And he would feed them, ask questions about the goal of life, and ask for blessings. Such a nice example. Because if you have kids, most of you are not monks. You all have partners or kids. The kid is going to learn whatever you're doing. It's going to make an impression in their hearts. So if they see the parents and, you know, brothers and sisters being God conscious, that will, make a great impression on them. It's a very, very important thing. And in the books, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says, never put anything before spirituality. Never make that mistake. Always prioritize God consciousness first. And just by reading these books, we can understand there are actually three kinds of intelligence mentioned in these books. There's first class intelligence, there's second class intelligence, and there's third class intelligence. First class intelligence means you don't learn by mistakes. You hear from somebody's experience and you follow, you save time. Just like I can tell you, don't park outside on a weekday, you may get a ticket. You can just listen to me because I've already gotten a ticket and you don't park there. Or you can decide to park there, get a ticket and then learn. The second class intelligence means you listen but still you want to do it just to get the experience. And then you stop. It's like you park outside, you get a ticket and then say, okay, never again. The third class intelligence means somebody tells you you have a bad experience but you still don't stop. Somebody tells you don't park outside, you still park and you get a ticket. Again you park outside. That's third class intelligence. So the ancient yoga texts, they're inspiring us to take to this first class intelligence where we hear from perfect sources. It's not like, you know, we are the first ones to find out something new and experience new. No, these things have been going on since long time, thousands and thousands of years. We read in these books, people have been doing the same thing, but in a much better quality. And they're telling us, don't do this and do this like this. So if we just hear, we save ourselves from so many problems, so many troubles. At the moment, what happened is, we have conditioned ourselves to feel something so unnatural, you know, to the soul, to be the most natural thing. And the most natural thing for the soul, we feel bitter. We feel uncomfortable. It's like many times we encourage newcomers to, you know, to chant Krishna's names on beads, God's names on beads. But they always tell me after 6 months, oh, you know, now I'm chanting one round or half a round. I'm like, why? Why don't you chant a little bit more? It's like partying, you know. Why you're so afraid, you know? This is like, it'll make you so happy. Why are you holding back? Just let go and chant. What do you have to lose? But we are so afraid. Because of our material association, the pure soul right now is contaminated. Just like a pure rain water. When it's in the sky, it's so pure. When it drops in the gutter, it becomes muddy. Similarly, we are pure spiritual beings because of our material association with this world, we are identifying ourselves with some things that's not us, namely this body, this country, this bank balance, this color, this education, like this. There's one nice example given by our teacher. He says just like a person afflicted with jaundice. Jaundice is like a disease of the liver. And the best medicine for the jaundice is actually sugar candy, rock candy. But when you have jaundice, when you take the rock candy, it actually tastes very bitter. But you just have to keep taking it. Then what will happen is it destroys the liver disease, and then you will actually taste the original taste of the rock candy, which is sweet. So at the moment, we are afraid of spiritual things, spiritual association. We're skeptical, we're fearful. Of course, most of us have bad experiences too, that's understandable. But that does not mean there's no genuine spirituality out there just because we had a couple of bad experiences. So we're actually afraid. I was watching this little clip where this mountain lion is actually stuck in this trap and he's like, you know, struggling. And these nice guys, they wanted to like release him into the wild, but he doesn't understand they're actually there to help him. He's like snarling and fighting and want to attack them. Finally, they had to like do all kinds of things to actually release him in the wild. Similarly, because of our bad experiences, we are fearful of anything to do with spirituality, anybody that looks a little different, anybody that mentioned the G word, you know. You just don't want to do anything with these people. But no, actually, these things is real liberation. Spirituality is real freedom. Spirituality is real happiness. Spirituality gives us strength to overcome all kinds of illusions and sufferings of this world. So we request all of you to kindly read the lunch, dinner, hall. Archita will give you a copy of the Bhagavad Gita complimentary book. You can read and, you know, just read it cover to cover, see what you think. And for the regulars, I just wanted to speak a couple of minutes about this upcoming festival. On Tuesday, we have this Gaura Purnima celebration. It's a very special celebration. Lord Krishna, he appeared 500 years ago as Lord Chaitanya. And he was Krishna, he was a God in the role of a saint. And he is the one who gave us this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And this festival is actually so important for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Vrindavan Das Thakur actually explains that there are actually two important festivals in the lives of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. One is Nityananda Trayodasi, another one is Gaura Purnima. So Gaura Purnima and Nityananda Trayodasi, it's explained, it's actually so important and it's so powerful. Just by fasting on these days, you actually don't enter the womb of another mother. It's so potent. And what to speak of all the other benefits we get from pleasing Lord Chaitanya. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvise Namaha. It's explained, even to know Krishna, it's very rare. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually can give you love for Krishna freely. That's how powerful and merciful is Lord Chaitanya. So this festival is coming. And Lord Chaitanya, it's explained, as we explained, he's in the role of a devotee. And in the role of Srimati Radha, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, who is the mother of all living entities. Srimati Radharani. She's so merciful. She's so extremely kind and compassionate, just like a mother to the child. Doesn't consider whatever the child does wrong or right. You know, the mother always loves the child. I even saw one documentary where the son is killed. So many people and is in the prison, but the mother shows up at the prison and tells the guards how she doesn't believe that it's her son actually did it. It must be somebody else. And he brings some baked, you know, cookies and stuff. The mother always loves the child. There is this example of Srimati Radharani. Radharani and the Sakis, the gopis, They're actually walking around in the morning in Radha Kund. And Radharani actually hears this screaming of this jackal. And she asks the gopis, they ask the sakis, you know, what is this going on? Somebody is in pain in my kund, in my neighborhood. This shouldn't happen. Can you go find out what it is? So Lalita actually went, and she saw there were these naughty kids. They actually were throwing rocks at this jackal, and the jackal was bleeding and it was in so much pain. Just to survive, the jackal actually ran into a little hole under the ground. And still these kids were not satisfied. They actually put some sticks and some oil and lit it on fire, this entrance to the hole. So this little jackal was inside, like dying, screaming in pain. So Lalita went and chased away these kids and removed the jackal from the hole and brought the jackal to Srimati Radharani. And jackal is like, you know, nobody likes jackals, you know, even among animals. If I called you a jackal, you know, you'll be offended. If I called you like a lion or something, you'll be proud. So even though it's just like a half-burnt jackal, Radharani was so sorry to see this condition of this living entity. She actually like rubbed the head and patted him. And this jackal actually regained the original spiritual form as one of the gopis, one of the cowherd girlfriends of Radharani. And she was given entrance into this amazing pastimes. Even Lakshmi, it's explained, is not allowed to come to these pastimes. But this jackal was given entrance. So it's explained how the living entities in this world, they're compared to the jackals. And the threefold miseries, the problems from our body and mind, problem from other living beings, problems from the demigods, natural disasters, they're compared to us being beaten and, you know, thrown rocks at. And this material existence, it's called samsara davanala. It's like forest fire of material existence. This hole where we are, this material existence, we've been set on fire. But Radharani, the Supreme Mother, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually Srimati Radharani. He has the mood of Radharani and the complexion of Radharani, even though it's Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srimati Radharani actually sends the spiritual master who's like Lalita. The guru comes and actually rescues us from this suffering condition and brings us again to this original pastimes that, you know, we all longing for, we have left in this pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Such an amazing process, such an amazing philosophy. You know, most teachings of the world, they don't even know who's God. If you actually told some of the religious people that God is a person, they get angry. What to speak of telling them God has a girlfriend, you know? They'll probably like shoot you for being an offender. But in Krishna consciousness is so deep. It's so joyful, it's so special. So we have to observe this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance day in a very special way. We have to do something special. It's the most important day of the year. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, who's come to give Krishna. So just by pleasing him, we get Krishna, which means our human life is successful. So if we understand this, we should go out of our way to do something special. There's so many services we can perform. It's a very, very extraordinary day. The mercy is in the air. We can just grab it. Otherwise, you know, we're just doing the same old thing like we discussed. We're just like chained to our material desires. You know, we're like slaves of our material desires. A slave is never happy. Those of us who have seen documentaries, you know, they bought, they sold, you know, they told what to do, they're beaten, you know, they're tied hands and legs. We're slaves of our material desires and we're wondering why I'm not happy. Because we're always being told what to do, what not to do, and like this, you know. We're slaves of our senses. And without mercy of Krishna, we cannot become Goswamis. We cannot become the, you know, the controller of the senses and the mind. So by receiving the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this coming Gaura Purnima, this Tuesday, you know, we can perfect our lives. We can go back home, back to God. So those of you that are coming, but you're not chanting this japa, this Hare Krishna mantra on beads, this is a great day to start chanting. You can get some beads upstairs in Govindas and the bead bag and start chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. All your problems are 100% gone. Otherwise, you can have your money back. It's such a joyful process. Very special day to start. If you start on the day, you will get so much blessing, so much mercy, so much happiness that we're all searching for. And also, these books, Chaitanya Charitamrita, these books are extremely special. Prabhupada's guru used to say, Americans and Europeans will actually learn Bengali language to read these books. But Prabhupada has made it easy for us. He's translated all these books in English. So you don't have to learn Bengali, you can just read it. And these books include Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. This is like the, you know, postgraduate studies on Krishna consciousness. It's a very important book in our syllabus of Krishna consciousness teachings. And just by receiving these books and reading them, you can get love for God. And especially this time of the year is very special. And we have a small marathon, very, very teeny marathon. I was praying to my guru and the deities and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I can distribute 5 of these sets. Just 5. Not 508. Just 5. So my request to the devotees is, of course, if I sell more than 5, I'm very happy. So those of you don't have the Chaitanya Charitamrita set, please take a set home. The price is very cheap. It's unbelievable. It's like you won't believe how cheap it is. I'll tell you outside. We have a special deal, sale going on, Gaura Purnima sale. So you please take one home, or if you have one already, you can gift it to somebody that you know. Even if they don't understand these books, they will be blessed just by keeping these books in their shelves. We have so many histories of people that are receiving these books. They don't know what's up with these books. But just by keeping in their home, somebody reads them and becomes a great devotee. So please, we have 5 sets. So please take one home and be blessed or distribute them to your friends and family. It's a great blessing. So I'll stop here. If you have any questions or comments, we can discuss for a couple of minutes. Yes. We are blessed either way. However, the more, like, especially these books I was presenting to people that have been around, and it's about time that they read these books. But for a new person, just the fact you've come, you've given your time, and you're going to eat spiritual dinner, you're getting so much blessings. But Krishna reciprocates to the degree we surrender. It says, it's easy to give something, but if you really want to make progress, you have to give in such a way that it should hurt. It should hurt a little bit. Then you're actually being noticed by Krishna. Because anybody can, you know, do things when they're feeling good and give something, you know. That's cheating. You have to sacrifice. Like this golden temple in Amritsar, this Sikh temple, the Sikh religion. And this temple is actually called the Golden Temple. And I was reading the history, how this temple, majority of the portion is made of gold is because of the followers. They actually donated, they actually requested people to donate. And simple housewives and kids and farmers, everybody would come and they would give something, their earring or the necklace or their toe ring or anklet or something, they'll just donate, made of gold. Just by the sacrifice of all this congregation, they were able to crush everything and make all this amazing temple. So little bit by large number of people, you know, so much can be accomplished. We're not asking your gold, by the way. We're just asking you to take a set home or distribute it. Did anybody have any questions? Is everybody satisfied? Thank you for your kind attention. Grantharaj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.